Today, we want to consider this topic, marching to Zion. Now, Zion is the name of Israel. In the Old Testament, it is called Zion. And we are looking in the book of Numbers. And you know, if you follow the Old Testament, book of Genesis, it goes on, we come to the book of Numbers. What is the book of Numbers? Why is it called the book of Numbers? Well, if you study the book of Numbers, you're going to find that by and large, the most part of it records how Israel travels from place to place. They're wandering about in the wilderness. And so why is it called Numbers? Well, it is because they took the numbering, they took an account of the number of people that there were in Israel at this point in time. At the start, first in Mount Sinai, and at the end, at on the plains of Moab. So there were twice in number the people of Israel, and that's why this book is called the Book of Numbers. But by and large, the whole Book of Numbers records how the Israelites were wandering about in the wilderness. And I'll just say up front here that all of us would come to this point in our lives that we'll be going through the wilderness, as it were. Now remember how God took Israel out from Egypt. And they were supposed to leave Egypt to go where? Into the promised land. To go into the land of Canaan. And how long was that supposed to take? It was supposed to take maybe 11 days. Now, but the Israelites spent a good 40 years there. And you have to ask yourselves, why did they stay there so long? Well, it's of course because they have disobeyed. You remember the story of the 12 spies that were sent into the land, and they searched out the land, and 10 of them said, this land, we can't conquer it. The two of them that came back, Joshua and Caleb, they said, God has given us this land, let us go forth to take it. So God punished them. Well, the spies were in the land of Canaan for 40 days, and as a result, God punished them for 40 years. So they were wandering about in the wilderness for 40 years. And first of all, I just want to say this, that yes, we all have to go through the wilderness, but we don't have to stay a day longer in the wilderness than we have to if we obey the word of God, if we obey his guidance. And simply because the Israelites did not trust him, they did not trust God to provide for them the promised land and to conquer it, they spent much longer in the wilderness than they should have. They spent a good 40 years there. And in fact, all those in the generation at that point in time, they all died before the Israelites set foot into the land of Canaan. And so in Numbers chapter 10, we have a very interesting story. It's like a story within a story. And so in verse 29, we are told that there is this man, Moses, which all of us are very familiar with. Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. Now, who is Hobab? Who is Hobab? Well, Hobab was actually Moses' brother-in-law. He was Zipporah's brother. And you remember, Moses married Zipporah. Zipporah and Hobab, their father was called Reguel. So he said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, and Moses' father-in-law refers to Reguel. And perhaps some of you would be more familiar with the name Jethro. Same person, Jethro, Reguel, or Reuel, R-E-U-E-L, same person. Hobab is the son of Jethro. And you remember Moses spent 40 years with Jethro in the backside of the wilderness. So he knew Jethro as a person. No doubt he would know Hobab as a person as well. And that gives us the context to this story. So now remember this. The Israelites are journeying. They are in the wilderness. And at this point in time, they have been there for about a year. So there's still a long way to go. There's still about 39 years to go before they're going to set foot in the land of Canaan. And Moses speaks to Hobab. He invites Hobab. He says, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us. and will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." So Moses tells Hobab, the Israelites, we are journeying. We are going to the place that God has promised. We are going to the place that God has said, I will give it to you. And he invites Hobab to come along. He says, come and join us. And first of all, I want all of you to see this, that everyone is journeying in the journey of life. All of us are going to different places. Some of us, after today, will go to homes which are really not ours. Some of us will go to workplaces where we find that we are the only Christian there. Or maybe it's a reverse for you. Some of us are working in a place that is a Christian workplace, a Christian organization, but you are the only non-Christian there. And all of us are journeying in the way of life. And that is why Moses says we are journeying. Now, of course, he was speaking literally, physically, that they are going to journey there. But it is metaphorical as well, that all of us, not one of us in this room has ever turned back the clock even for a split second. All of us are going one way and one way forward only. So he tells Hobab, we are journeying unto the place. All of us are on a journey. Which journey are you on? Are you with the people of God, or are you not with the people of God? Because now Hobab, it says here that he was the son of Reguel, the Midianite. He was the son of Jethro. And if you know your history, Jethro was even a priest of Midian. We are told that Jethro was a priest of Midian. We are told that in Exodus chapter 3. So no doubt Hobab would know very intimately the doings and the religious practices of the Midianites. He was accustomed to the Midianites' culture. And then this is what Moses is going to do. He looks at Hobab, who is born out of a Midianite background, born into a Midianite faith, as we would say, and he says, come with us. Come with us. And he makes it a very personal application, I want you to see. He says, come thou with us. Now, Hobab had his family. Hobab had his siblings. Hobab had his wife and daughters. But Moses is giving a personal invitation. He says, Hobab, come you with us. And you know, the invitation here that a lot of us have heard has been issued many a times. No doubt you have heard of the gospel many times, and the gospel is a personal invitation. The gospel speaks to you and it says, come thou with us. Oh yes, you may have your friends and families, but that's not the main thing, because when I ask you, come thou with me, you and only you can answer for yourself, yes or no. Will I come or will I not come? That was the challenge. That was the invitation that Hobab was facing. And he had to make a decision. Because in fact, we are told in the later parts of the verses that after a few days, the pillar of cloud and fire would soon move on. So Hobab really only had a few days to make that decision. And you know, my friends, that is the same of all of us. Oh, you may think you have 20, 30 years to go. Oh, but sometimes a cloud moves before you know it. And you have to make that decision within a few days. Or who knows that when we leave outside the doors of this church, we don't even have a few days. Who knows what will happen? The Bible says that no man knows what a day may bring forth. You don't even know what's going to happen this evening. And so the invitation has been issued to Hobab. It says, come thou with us. And you know, here's the thing. Moses promises this. In verse 29, it says, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. You know, it's interesting that Moses has not seen the promised land. In fact, he will not even step foot into it because he disobeyed God. Or rather, he will disobey God. when he smote the rock. But anyway, he says here, we are journeying in unto the place of which the Lord said. And I want you to realize this, that Moses does not really know where that place is. He only knows that God will bring them there. He only knows that God will lead them there and give them that land. And he says, you know, we're journeying unto a place. And I have to say this for all of us as well. That yes, we know we're going to heaven. We know that there's a place there. But we don't, in a sense, physically know where it is. But we have the faith and confidence that the God of heaven will bring us there. There's nothing in us that will bring us there. And so Moses gives out this invitation. And all of us here, and I think this is especially true to a lot of you, that a lot of you have left your country to seek out a better future in a foreign land. You left your home behind. You left your family behind. You left the friends that you have built up from childhood. And I know, no doubt, that some of you are thinking of them right now. Or when you long for home. But you know that sometimes you have to leave your comfort zone to seek a better place. And sometimes the way into the promised land is through the wilderness. There's no shortcut. You have to get through the wilderness. And of course, I'm reminded of Abraham. Remember how it says in Hebrews that by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He did not know where he was going except for the fact that God was dwelling and with him. And he says that, for he looked for a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham looked with faith into that promised land. He has not seen it, but he knows that the builder and maker is God. And likewise, it is for us. That as we look into heaven, we know that the builder and maker is God, and we look at it by faith. And Moses, of course, himself took upon him the calling. He left the comforts of Egypt, left the promises that Pharaoh would give him. And you know, I'm going to build you up. You're going to be rich. You're going to have the best education here in Egypt. He left all of that, and it says that he would rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that is a call. That is a decision that all of us have to make individually. A personal choice that we have to make. A personal choice that we have to make. So Moses invites Hobab to come along. Now, let me just digress a bit here and say this. That there are many people who sort of debate whether Moses was right or wrong to invite Hobab, because he gives his reason in verse 31. It says, come with us, that thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. So he's asking Hobab, come and be our guide. Lead us in the wilderness. Because remember this, Moses, or rather Jethro, was living in the backside of the wilderness. No doubt Hobab grew up in that environment and he knew the wilderness thoroughly. So he was asking a Midianite to be his guide. Now, is that right or wrong? And I'm not going to in a sense, give you an answer, because I see that there are merits to both sides. But some people say, well, Moses should have trusted in God and the pillar of cloud and fire, and that's true. But it also doesn't give us the responsibility and the duty to talk to even the non-Christians who perhaps know their way about physically, as in the wilderness. So the point here is this. I'm not going to dwell too much on this, but I'm just going to say this. The invitation is given to Hobab, and Moses invites Hobab to come along. And that is what all of us as Christians should do. We have to, in a sense. Now, I know all of us are going that way to heaven. But do you invite the people to journey along with you? Do you look at the non-Christians in your family circles and in your friends and in your work colleagues and even the people perhaps you see look on the street and you pass by them and you're having a chat with them? Do you invite them to come along? Come thou with us to journey into the land of Zion. Do you do that? Or do you are you contented just to leave them where they were? Because Hobab is going to respond. And it seems in verse 30 that he responds rather quickly. He says this, "And he," that's Hobab, "said unto him," that's Moses, "I will not go. I will not go." You know, I have no doubt in Moses' mind that having grown up perhaps with Hobab, that he knew what kind of person Hobab was. And being grown up in the Midianite faith, perhaps he knew, and remember this, that his father was a Midianite priest. So I have no doubt in my mind that they were very religious people according to the Midianite faith. And Moses would know all of that. But it doesn't stop him from inviting Hobab to come along. You see that? And perhaps there is someone in your family who is extremely resistant to the gospel. And that should not stop you from inviting them. Now, but we want to look very quickly at Hobab's response. And he says, "I will not go." And then he gives his reason. "But I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred." Well, Hobab gave an answer. And he basically said this, "No, I want the pleasures of my land. I want my kindred. I want my family." And he was effectively saying this, "Family is more important than God. My land, my comfort, it's more important than God." And know this, that I don't know your circumstances. I don't even know for a fact whether you are saved. Is there something pulling you from accepting the gift of God? Is it your comfort? Is it your land? Do you want to stay comfortable where you have been growing up? Is that keeping you away from the grace of God? Now you've heard the invitation many times, and perhaps kindred, perhaps family have been persuading you otherwise, and it says, "Don't go into this Christianity nonsense. Don't believe that. You're a Midianite, you're supposed to grow up in the Midianite faith. You're a Chinese, you're supposed to grow up in the Buddhist faith, or whatever faith that you're Filipino, you're supposed to grow up in the Catholic faith. Don't listen to that." And Hobab rejects the offer. Oh, you know, in one sense, that offer is too great to be rejected. When you look at it, heaven and salvation from hell. Oh, but sometimes the allurement and the pull of the earthly things is too great for man to bear. And they look at it in a very short-sighted and myopic perspective. And they see my land, my kindred, my possessions, that's what I treasure. That's what I treasure. And that is why Christ said so many times, and he said in so many ways, that any man who puts his hand into the plough and looks back is not worthy to be called of my disciple. Any man who loves father and mother and sons and daughters is not worthy to be called of my disciple. He says, any man who worships mammon, you cannot have God and mammon, is not worthy to be my disciple. You remember the rich young ruler and all those stories? It's all the same. Any man who looks at the grace and the promises and the gift of God and says, "I want the world," that is a Hobab. That is a Hobab. Question is, are you a Hobab? Or are you Moses, who is on that way to journey in the land? You know, both of them, Moses and Hobab, were pretty much in the same situation, in the sense that they were both there. They spent a good time with each other, a good 40 years one with the other. But Moses saw the promises of God by faith, and Hobab did not. Moses saw the promises by faith. And here's what I want to say, that all of us have faith. All of us have faith. Now, you would not be in this building if you did not have faith that the building wouldn't collapse in the next 2 hours, would you? You wouldn't board a plane if you did not believe that the pilot was certified to fly the plane. And there's this rather funny story of this young boy, this boy called James. It's his first time taking a plane, and so he was all excited. And he goes to meet the pilot of the plane. And he goes to speak to the pilot and says, "Wow, it's my first time taking a plane." And he looks at the cockpit and all the controls, and he's excited. He says, "I'm excited to take the plane." And the pilot speaks and says, "Oh yes, it's going to be fine, John. We're going to land safely, John." And the young boy said, "No, sir, my name is not John, my name is James." And the pilot said, "Oh yes, I know, my name is John. I was just reassuring myself because it's the first time I'm flying a plane too." And you know, we laugh at that story because perhaps we think that pilot is not going to bring us safely to the destination. But here is a very different story, because the pilot of Moses was not Moses. The pilot of the Israelites was not Moses. The pilot of the Israelites was not even Hobab. Who was it? It was God. That miraculous pillar of cloud and fire. And we often like to sing the hymn, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought. Oh, will he lead you? Or will you lead your own life?" And we don't like trusting someone who is inexperienced, but here's the wonderful promise that God is not inexperienced. In fact, it says in the gospel accounts that Christ speaking, that "all whom the Father giveth me, I will not lose, not even one." Not a single person who has been caught by the grace of God has been lost along the way to heaven. Not a single sheep has the shepherd lost. And so Moses sees the land by faith, and he sees the promises of God that is going to bring him there. And we can, as Christians, see that promised land too. We can see that promised land because we are led by the hands of God. There's this one quote which I love, and it says this: "We may be in the dark about God's plans, but we are not in the dark about God." Now think of that. You may not know what God is doing. You may not know everything that He has planned for you. Oh, but you know God, and you know the character of God, that He leads His people home safely. And yes, He may lead the Israelites through the Red Sea. He will lead them through the 10 plagues. He will lead them through the wilderness. And He will lead them up and down the mountains, into the valley of the shadow of death. But through it all, as you have read, perhaps in the later part of the book, did they eventually reach Israel? Oh yes, they did. It took a long time, took 40 years. Oh, but they did. And so we can trust God on His promises to lead us through and bring us to that promised land. Now, of course, Hobab was different. What did he do? He made an earth-to-earth comparison. He says, "Oh, do I have to take the wandering in the wilderness, the uncertainty of God's promises perhaps, or would I rather have the quote-unquote certainty of mine own comfort, mine own land, mine own kindred?" And I want to issue the challenge likewise to all of you, that you have received that invitation to come with us. All of us who can sing that we are going to that glory land. Oh, we want to invite you, come with us, meet us there. We want you over there. We want you over there. And here's the thing. What is stopping you from coming? Remember we sang the song just now, "Come to the Savior"? Make no delay. Here in His word, He has promised us His way. Here in the midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. And it says this in the chorus. Listen to these words. Joyful, joyful will the meeting be. Oh, just think of that wonderful day when we shall be in heaven, and what a wonderful, what a joyful meeting that will be. The saints in heaven are shouting, when from sin our hearts are pure and free, and we shall gather, Savior, with thee. We shall gather with our Lord Jesus Christ in our eternal home. So yes, Moses was journeying into Zion. He was journeying into the land of Canaan, a physical land. But more importantly, this was a parallel of Moses' journey to heaven. He was journeying to his eternal home. And question is this, where are you journeying to? You have received the invitation, but where are you journeying to? And I plead with all of you that you consider this invitation. Because although, in fact, Hobab rejects the promise, and I want you to see this of Moses, which is why he's such a man of God. Look in verse 31. He pleads again with Hobab. He was not discouraged at the first sign of rejection. And he says, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. He says, please reconsider this invitation. I pray that you would come along with us. And verse 32, and it shall be that if thou go with us, if you come along with us, then what goodness that the Lord does to us, the same will we do unto thee. Effectively, this was what he was saying. You come and join with us, leave your land, leave your kindred, build up a family in the people of God, and whatever God blesses us, you'll be a partaker of it. There's a hymn that I'm just reminded of. And it says this. There's room at a cross. There's room for one more. And are you that one person who is outside the cross and you're looking into the cross and you see the people worshipping there? And you say, you know, there's something about them that I want. There's something that about them that is different. I want to be a partaker of that. I want to be part of that fellowship. Oh, but then what is stopping you? For Hobab, it was his land and his kindred. Well, for you, it may be the same. It may be your family who is stopping you. Or it may be your desire to make more in this land or on this earth. What is stopping you? And that is, of course, the last that we read of Hobab. Now, but you know, the story doesn't end here, because if we go on to the book of Judges, turn with me, if you will, to Judges chapter 4, verse 11. Judges chapter 4, verse 11. We are given a rather interesting verse here, Judges chapter 4, verse 11. And it says this. Chapter 4, verse 11. It says this. It says, now Heber the Kenite. Who was the Kenite? Well, the Kenite descended from Jethro, which was of the children of who? Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses. Now it says father-in-law there because that translation is unclear, in the sense that that word father-in-law can just mean a next of kin. It can even mean a son and a daughter-in-law. It just means a relative. So, in fact, Hobab, as I've explained earlier, was the brother-in-law. But anyway, it says, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent unto the plain of Zaim, which is by Kadesh. Who is Heber? Heber was the husband of Jael. And you remember in Judges chapter 4 that there was this man, Sisera. And we know of two people, Deborah and Barak. They were chasing Sisera. Sisera was persecuting the Israelites. And the wife of Heber, that's Jael. Jael was known for smiting Sisera with a tent peg. So here's what I want to say. That although the story in Numbers ends there, that Hobab did not seemingly accept the invitation, we have evidence here that he eventually did. That he formed a fellowship. He joined with the people of God. And now he was part of the people of God. And from Hobab would descend Heber, who is the husband of Jael, who slew Sisera and freed the Israelites. Oh, what a great blessing that is. And now here's what I want to say. The pillar of cloud and fire would soon move on. It will move on after a few days from when Hobab received the invitation. And Hobab accepted that invitation in the nick of time. Hobab accepted that invitation in the nick of time. But you know, what if Hobab did not accept the invitation? We have a few more stories on the Midianites. And you don't have to turn there, but a few chapters later in the book of Judges, in fact, in Judges chapter 7 and 8, we have the story of Gideon. You guys know the story of Gideon? He was fighting with who? The Midianites. And we are told in the book of Judges that all the men of the Midianites died. So here's what happened. Had Hobab not accepted that invitation, he would have perished like with the Midianites. And this is it for us. That invitation is an invitation to escape the peril and the punishment of destruction. Had Hobab not accepted the invitation, he would have found himself slain by the Israelites. And the question is this. Again, I'm going to draw back to the lesson. Are you walking with the people of God? Are you walking with the people of God? Have you made your lot with them? Would you cast your lot in with the people of God and say, yes, I want to journey to that heavenly home? Or are you someone who rejects the gospel and simply say, this is not for me, perhaps another time? Let me think about it. Maybe I'll give you an answer next week. Had Hobab waited a week, he would not have accepted the invitation. The cloud would have moved on. And I want you to see this, that Moses never waited for Hobab to give an answer. Moses was led by the pillar of cloud and fire. And the pillar of cloud and fire was not going to wait for Hobab. The pillar of cloud and fire was going to move on anyway. And Moses was going to follow that. So sometimes that train leaves the last station. And it's almost as if you're at the last station and that train is going to depart. You have that last few days to make a decision to jump on that train and say, I'm going to the land of Zion. I'm going to the glory land. I'm going with the people of God. Or would you stay in the station? And know this, that sometimes the train that you missed would be the last train that you would ever see. That invitation there will come a day when the invitation will no longer come. I mean, just think of that. There will come a day when the invitation will no longer come. There will come a day when God says, that's it, time's up. Enough is enough. Time's up. You have been given your window of grace, and now you have rejected it, and now you have to face the consequences of your choice. So I hope that all of you would, like Hobab, consider this choice very carefully. and consider it and cast your lot in with the people of God, saying, I will go with them. One last parable that I'll just use to illustrate this is, if you recall, the parable of the two sons. Now, what is the parable of the two sons? It's found in Matthew chapter 21. If you recall, the father asked his first son and said this, go and work in the field. And the first son said, no, I'll not do that. I'll not go into the field. But afterward, he repented and he went into the field. And the second son, same invitation that the father gives, go and work in the field. The second son says, oh yes, I will work. I will work in the field. But he did not go there. He stayed in where he was. He stayed in the house. He was lazy. And then Christ asked this question, which of these two do you think did the will of God? And the first son was a hobab, wasn't he? Initially he rejected. He said, no, I will not go. Oh, but then afterward he repented. Oh, but I fear that some of you would be the second son. That you say, yes, I am with the people of God, but really you are not. And Christ issued a rhetorical question. He says, which of these two do you think is doing the will of God? And we know, of course, it is the person who puts his hand and puts his life where God calls them to. And I hope that you would accept that invitation that you have been issued. You would come to the Savior of the world and find the promise that we have read in Numbers chapter 10 again. The promise that we have read, and it shall be, if thou, verse 32, if thou go with us, yea, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. What a blessing that is, to have your part in with the people of God who are on their way to glory land. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank and praise thee for this thy word. How it has called us to come to the Savior and to make no delay. And even as thou hast called us to tenderly, and thou hast called us tenderly to come, we ask and pray that thou would help us to cast our lot in with the people of God for what thou hast done for us. And we ask and pray that thou would even impress upon our hearts, may the Holy Spirit work in our hearts to accept this invitation. And for some of us who have looked as it were outside the cross and we have seen that the grace of God has been showered upon the people of God, we ask and pray that thou would likewise help them to crave this blessing. And to crave and to accept the gift of salvation, which is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask and pray that thou would even remove the heart of stone that is in each and every one of our hearts, and put in us the heart of flesh, that we may do the will of God, not deceiving ourselves. And even bless us, even as thou help us to consider the invitation that has been given. May thou help us to make the wise and the right choice, and that is to follow God all the way back to glory land. So we commit this message and the hearts of the people here into thy loving hands. Ask and pray that thou help all of us. In Jesus' name, ask and pray. Amen.